ready to start. We're going to get an update on insurance and who is going to provide that update.
Okay, so we've got two updates provided on insurance, both of which are ways we're supporting the implementation of IFRS 17. One is on the transition resource group meeting that was held earlier this month, and the other is on the investor outreach. I think we should start with the investor outreach, if that's okay, Fred, given
okay,
that we
sure.
don't have Martin.
So I think you have a presentation that updates you on a paper that we presented in July. And it recaps some of the activities that we've done to support investor engagement on IFRS 17. Generally, what you'll find is with the population of investors with whom we've engaged, we've increased that population. We've continued to diversify it geographically, but also in terms of specialization, we are now starting to make inroads in meeting with investors that I would classify more as generalists rather than just exclusively insurance sector specialists. Later in the presentation, you see some of the patterns of feedback that we've received from investors. It's largely a continuation of the first impressions when we began the work last summer. So I think an appreciation from investors on consistency, comparability, and transparency. And I've enjoyed the benefit of discovering in some of the meetings, I think, some news that is potentially, I think, quite pleasing to hear, which is this notion that IFRS 17 may sort of increase earnings volatility and so on is really not black and white. And we've even heard in some cases investors telling us that they're hearing from preparers themselves that that might not be the case. I think on other issues around, say, cost, it was also interesting in some meetings to discover that implementation costs may in fact be less than Solvency II. So clearly, areas where you may have heard a lot of noise in the public domain, what I've discovered in some meetings with investors is there's potentially a good news or an encouraging story.
Okay. Any questions to Fred? No? Then we go to talk about the transition resource group.
Okay. Thank you. So as a reminder, the Transition Resource Group is one of the ways that we are supporting the implementation of IFRS 17, and the purpose of the TRG is to provide a public forum for stakeholders to follow the discussion of implementation questions that arise when entities prepare themselves for 2021, the implementation of IFRS 17. So you have agenda paper 2A. It provides the context of the first substantive meeting that TRG had. And it has the summary of the discussion that took place in that meeting. We do not request the board to make any decision with that respect. You will see that we have two appendices to that paper. The first one is the meeting summary that was published a week after the meeting. And the second one is the submission log that was made available together with all agenda papers. In advance of that meeting, we received 26 submissions. Four of the submissions we requested for further information, and the other submissions we included in the agenda for that TRG meeting. All the topics were addressed. Six of them were included in their own agenda papers. We had a more detailed discussion. And the rest of the topics were included in a separate paper that summarizes the submissions. Overall, if we look at the meeting and the way it went, it was considered to be, I think, a very helpful meeting. TRG members participated. They generally expressed support to the analysis provided in the paper. So the way that we read IFRS 17, the read and understand the words in IFRS 17 and apply them to the questions in the submissions. TRG members requested further discussion on one of the topics in the agenda paper. This is about coverage units. And the reason for that is, partly the reason for that is that we were planning to discuss this topic in the February meeting and in the meeting after that, so two parts, and TRG members were expecting or preferred to discuss two parts of the discussion at one go. So we will come back to that in the May meeting. TRG members also commented on areas where implementation challenges arise in relation to the submissions. because the requirements of IFRS 17 represent a significant change from their existing practice. They had particular discussion around three specific topics. And for those three topics, although the board was aware that there were operational and cost-benefit concerns, when finalizing IFRS 17, the staff proposes to perform further outreach with TRG members to better understand their concerns. So we expect that we will collect that outreach and respond and report this to you in a further meeting. I think the next step for us going forward is the next TRG meeting, which will happen in 2nd May.
Yeah, just a question and confirmation about the agenda paper 5, which is on page 12 of the agenda paper 2A. According to paragraph 22, the TRG observed two points, A and B, mm-hmm. that is the coverage period and the likelihood. And then the paragraph 23, about the level of cover, we are going to defer it.
Yeah.
But however, so paragraph 23 relates to the part of the paragraph 22B, which is talking about claim. Because in the discussion of paragraph 23, you were discussing about level of coverage, which mm-hmm. is whether or not it's a maximum level of cover or valid claim. So paragraph 22B discusses about the claim. So it's somehow relating to. So are you going to discuss all together in May?
So we will come back to the whole discussion in May, but there is a bit of a difference between 22B and 23. So 22B is focused about the likelihood, so the chances that something will happen. And 23 is focused about the amount, so whatever right. happens, the amount of claim right. and the different levels of benefit. Mm-hmm. So there might be some relationship between them, but it's a different kind of focus. Where people felt comfortable with 22A and B, most of the discussion was about what you see in paragraph 23, about the different levels of benefit without talking about the likelihood of an event
taking
place.
Without talking about the likelihood.
Yes, yes.
Right. Because this discussion is somehow important because it may affect to the proportion of a risk margin and CSM. And if you go down to the path of the maximum level, the CSM level could be smaller. And then the change of risk all relates to risk margin. Whereas if you say it's a coverage, valid claim or something, then it goes down to the CSM. So nature of the CSM may be slightly different. So then it's related to the kind of heart of our standards. So this discussion could be important.
I don't think we want to get into that today if we can, but
yeah.
Certainly it's at the heart of the standard, the yeah. CSM question.
Mary?
couple comments and then a question. Which might get the same response from Sue. That's okay. No.
And why pose it?
Because it's only might, not will. The first in the comment category applies both to the investor material that Fred talked about and as well as to Hagen's paper, which is, I think it's great to get updates about what's going on. I'm really impressed by the amount of engagement that we've had with investors over this to date, and I think continuing it and getting to the generalists is very positive. It's also very positive to have, you know, when I compare reading this and thinking back to the revenue TRG, I look at the 26 issues, you know, submitted for the first TRG discussion, and you know, specific issues which showing that people have really been reading and thinking about it already. That's all really positive news, I think, in terms of people engaging with and thinking about the consequences. And yes, the idea of a TRG was new when we did revenue, but I think I'm looking in Henry's direction. It took longer to pull out this kind of level of questions and start addressing them. And so I think that that's a real positive. I also think it's a real positive that the team worked so hard to turn around the notes of the meeting so fast and get a good, understandable summary up and available so that the wider world can get a good understanding of how things are progressing, and including the updated blog that you presented. The question that I have, and it's something that as a reader of these notes I just struggled with following, is on page 8, and so that is agenda paper 2 from the TRG meeting. You're contrasting in paragraph C and D on, and C, an instance where that as a result the entity can set a price that fully reflects the risk of that portfolio and therefore meets the requirements of paragraph blah, blah, blah. And then in D you say can set a price for the portfolio that contains the contract. And I guess I kept focusing on can set a price as the key phrase. And so since D starts out if conversely, it wasn't clear to me what distinction we were drawing, that was being drawn between C and D. And if there's an easy explanation now, great. I'd just be interested to know what it is. If it's more complicated or need to go back, then maybe just think about how clear that is.
So I'll give it a try. So the difference is that in paragraph D, we have a practical ability to reassess risk only at a general level.
Right.
And in C, it's a practical ability to reassess the risk that relate to that portfolio. So because you're following that portfolio, you know what kind of claims you have in that portfolio, you have this information. In some other cases, you don't have this information, so you can only use higher level information. And then the next step in this comparison is that you use this information to price the contract. So again, in C is a portfolio level, and in D is a kind of a higher level.
So C, it's at a portfolio level, the mm-hmm. information you have, and D is more general, like the general community.
Yes.
So it's not specific to the portfolio.
Oh, okay. I did. That's what I. Yeah. When you said at a general level, I didn't understand that meant above the portfolio level. Okay.
Any other questions, observations?
Okay. Well, hold on, Joanna. She wanted to quickly escape, but that's okay. Pause her for a moment. A very sad fact that Joanna is going to leave us. This is the last time she will be sitting at this board table. As a staff member, at least, never know what the future brings. Joanna has been with us for 9 years and devoted most of those 9 years to insurance. And despite that fact, she always managed to stay in a good mood. Joanna is certainly one of the most cheerful staff members that we have. Everybody knows your characteristic laughter, which we're always happy to hear. And so you've been a fantastic colleague to work with, extraordinarily pleasant, but not just pleasant, also extremely professional. And you were a bit Mrs. Insurance. You know everything about this very complex standard. And what I always appreciated very much is that you are also able to explain this very complicated standard in very simple words. I have often called you into my office when I was totally exasperated. And although I cannot claim that I always understood, most of the time you were able to enlighten me with the simple way in which you could explain things. We're going to say farewell to you on another occasion, but I really want to thank you for your huge efforts and your being a great colleague to all of us. You will be very much missed, and we wish you all the best in your future endeavors.
Thank you.